Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Now, I'll be preaching from the Gospel of Matthew today. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be in chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Matthew 19 and verse 16. And this is a portion of Scripture that relates the Lord's dealings with a young man we commonly call the rich young ruler. He was a young man who had a question. And it's interesting how this conversation goes, how the Lord addresses him. And it has to do with a question that is so important concerning eternal life. And the title of the message is this: How Good is Good? How good is good? And we'll just start. Let me just read the first few verses of this episode. You know, our Lord, when he walked on this earth in his earthly walk leading up to the cross, he encountered all kinds of different people. And it says here in verse 16, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, what a question. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And verse 17 says, "The Lord said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And then from here on, it says in verse 18, "He saith unto me, Which?" The young man said, "Well, which commandments?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." That's verse 19. "And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And so the Lord quoted to him what we normally call the second table of the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments was divided into two tables, we say. And the first four commandments had to do with man's relationship to God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the summation of that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, all of that. No idolatry. And then the last six commandments had to do with man's relationship to man. And so it's love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's how he concluded this in verse 19. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 20 says, "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Very interesting, isn't it? In verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect," if you'll be complete, and we could put it this way, if you want to be righteous before God, go and sell that thou hast, everything you have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, verse 22, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And that's a way of saying that he had the problem of the love of money. Not only did he have great possessions. So what do we know about this young man? Well, in the book of Luke calls him a ruler. And some say, well, he might have been a civil official, or he might have been a religious official, which I believe that's what it's talking about. Maybe a young man who had risen and quickly in the Jewish religion, maybe a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the judicial wing of the Jewish religion, the judges. And this man was very young, and he was very wealthy. That's what we know about him. But we also know that he had an interest in eternal life. Going back to verse 16, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, this passage of Scripture is so much misunderstood by so many people. For example, the legalist. You know what a legalist is? A legalist is a person who believes that you can be saved or that you can be made righteous by keeping the law. That's what legalism is, by works of the law. And so salvation or entering heaven, he says eternal life, comes by keeping the law. That's the legalist. And of course, when the Lord tells him here, down here in verse 17, he says, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. The legalist looks at that and says, so see there, we can have eternal life by keeping the commandments, by doing good works. And of course, that's not what the Lord is saying to this man. In fact, what he's doing, he's showing this man the impossibility of doing such a thing. And we'll see that in the context. And then there are people who are who deny the Trinity and who deny the deity of Christ. And they say that this supports their view when Christ said to him in verse 17, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And they say, well, Christ, they're showing that he's not God. And that's not what he's doing there. In fact, he's showing the young man just the opposite, and I'll get into that. The socialists, they look at passages like this and they say, well, look there. He said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And that's what they want to do. They sell all and give to the poor. And of course, they want to take money from some and give it to the poor. But they don't want you to take their money. They want you to take other people's money. But that's not what he's teaching here either. And then many professing Christians misunderstand that. This passage, because they think that salvation is conditioned on something we do. Works of morality, sincerity in religion, trying to be good, activities such as dying for your country or dying for your fellow man. And all of these misunderstandings stem from the depravity of man, which when we talk about depravity, what we're talking about is man's desire to save himself by his works. And so it's all concepts of relative human goodness and human righteousness. But the Bible sets forth an absolute perfect righteousness, and it shows that human righteousness is not sufficient. It always falls short. And understand that God demands perfect righteousness and perfect goodness. And so, how good does one have to be to have eternal life? That's the question. Go back, he says it. Verse 16. Now look at it again. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master. Now notice how he addressed the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, good master. That word master simply means teacher. It's kind of like the way Nicodemus approached the Lord when he came to him in John chapter 3. He said, we know that you're sent from God. You're a prophet sent from God because nobody could do what you do except they be sent from God. So Nicodemus believed that Jesus of Nazareth was a man, just a mere man sent from God. Well, this man here, this rich young ruler, had the same idea that Nicodemus had. He knew that Jesus of Nazareth was a good teacher. But he did not, like Nicodemus, he did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was and is God in human flesh. Now the Bible's clear on this from the book of Genesis all the way through in the Old Testament and obviously in the New. That the Messiah, the Savior of sinners, is both God and man in one person. He's every bit God in every attribute of deity, and he's every bit man in every attribute of humanity without sin. That's what you have to understand. This is part of the doctrine of Christ. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Remember, he asked that question. And they answered him. They said, well, he's David's son. And he came back. The Lord came back with them and he said, well, now he is David's son according to the flesh without sin. But how could David call him Lord in the sense of calling him God. How could he be both David's God and David's son, David's offspring? Well, the Bible tells us his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name also shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible presents God in the triunity of his persons, the Trinity. And that's a mind-boggling truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's not three gods. It's not a three-headed God, as one old preacher said. It's not one God in three forms. It's one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we can't explain that, and I'm going to tell you something now. You really cannot illustrate it. There's no earthly illustration that clears that up for us in our little puny, finite minds. But Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. He is God. Now, the issue of goodness here comes this way. Now that's the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ speaks of the person of Christ, who he is, the constitution of his person, God manifest in the flesh, and the finished work of Christ to accomplish the salvation of his people by his redemptive work on the cross, his blood shed that ensures and secures the salvation of every sinner for whom he died. Having their sins charged to his account, he died for their sins. His sheep, he said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he knows his sheep. And he's going to call them into the fold. He's redeemed them. He bought them, lock, stock, and barrel. He paid their debt to God's law and justice. And he brought forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value whereby God could be just to justify them. Now, what he's teaching this young man back here in Matthew chapter 19. Look at it again, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Christ said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if all right, now let's stop right there. What he's showing this man is that his idea of goodness is too low. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to eternal life and gaining eternal life, when it comes to a right relationship with God, and this is something that is so important if you're going to have an understanding of life as it is and of the Scriptures. When we talk about goodness, we have to understand that when it comes to salvation, when it comes to having eternal life and a right relationship with God, goodness has to be measured by God himself. Goodness cannot be measured by me or you or the best. You pick the best person who ever lived on earth other than the Lord Jesus himself. Mere man, the best mere human being, mere man or mere woman, who most people would say that's a good person. You cannot measure goodness by that person here on earth in human terms. We all know people that we'd say, well, that's a good man or a good woman. They take care of their family, a good father, good husband, good wife, good mother, all of those things. But when it comes to the standard of goodness that only God has, none of us are good. That's what the Scripture says. Now, let me show you that over in the book of Psalms, in verse 14, or chapter 14, the 14th Psalm, rather. It starts out, this is a Psalm of David, Psalm 14:1. And it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And literally, that would be like saying, no God for me. And so, it says, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. You see that? And then in verse 2 of that psalm, Psalm 14, it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." And verse 3 says, "They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." None that doeth good. Now that is repeated over in Psalm, one of the other Psalms. I think it's Psalm 53. That same thought is repeated. Another Psalm of David, he says in Psalm 53, verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none good, none that doeth good." And then it says, "God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now, the goodness that he's talking about there is goodness according to God's standard of goodness, not man's standard. And when it says that God looked down from heaven to see, he's not saying that God was trying to find out information. He's saying that God is making the point that among men fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, born dead in trespasses and sins, and the fact that all have sinned, there's none good in the eyes of God according to God's measure of goodness. The Apostle Paul repeated that over in Romans chapter 3. Look at that passage. And listen to what he says there in verse 10. This is Romans chapter 3. He says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Now, what's the difference between righteousness and goodness? Now, let's read on. Let me read this next verse. Verse 12 of Romans 3, "They are all gone out of the way," that is the way of God. "They are together become unprofitable." And let me make sure you understand this. When it says they are all gone out of the way, let's picture a person who has determined in their minds, like that rich young man that we're talking about, that, listen, I'm going to keep the law and earn my way to God, earn my way to salvation and eternal life. And I'm going to do my best to be the best person I can be. That person has gone out of the way of salvation, the way of goodness, the way of righteousness, the way of God. They've developed their own way. You see, God's way is the way of salvation by grace, not through your works, but by grace, through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the works of Christ. That's God's way. So a person who's determined in their minds, like this rich young man, that I'm going to keep the law for eternal life, they've gone out of the way. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So look back at Romans 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now, what's the difference between righteousness and goodness? Well, goodness is what we would call godly or moral behavior. Now, there can be a difference between godly behavior and moral behavior in the eyes of men. In God's eyes, any work that is done aimed at earning salvation from sinners, any work done by sinners aimed at earning salvation is immoral because it denies His glory. It denies Christ. It's unbelief. But in the eyes of men, it may be moral. But goodness has to do with morality, moral behavior. Righteousness is the perfect standard of the law by which all goodness is to be measured. How good is good? Well, what does the Bible tell us about goodness in the eyes of God? Well, goodness must measure up to the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says there's none righteous, he's not saying there's none who are moral in the eyes of human beings. He's not saying there are none religious or none sincere. He's saying there are none who have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. He's saying that nobody can be good enough to equal the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. And the conclusion of that is what Paul wrote here in verse 19 of Romans 3. Listen to this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, forgiven of sins, declared righteous, in God's sight. Now, that's the key. In God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see that? Nobody can be saved by works, for by grace are you saved. Through faith, that's not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, this young man that Christ was approaching over here in Matthew 19, he's wanting to say, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, good master. And Christ said this, listen, if you, and here's what Christ is saying in that, in Matthew 19. He's simply saying, why do you call me good if you don't believe me to be God? Because there among men and women, fallen in Adam, born dead in trespasses and sins, and Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All miss the mark. What's the mark? Righteousness. The goodness that only lies in God that equals the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in God. That's what he's saying. If you don't believe me to be God, why are you calling me good? How good is good? God is good. Man is not. Even the best of men, even the best of women, there's none good, no, not one. And so when he says down here, back in Matthew 19, he says, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, notice, he didn't say there, if you would enter into life, try to keep the commandments. No, that's not what he's saying. When he says keep the commandments, he means keep them all perfectly. That's how good good is. Over in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul was addressing the church here concerning false preachers who claimed to believe in Christ, claimed to be saved by grace, but who said that people have to keep the law, certain aspects of the law, in order to be really righteous, in order to be saved. And look what he says in verse 10 of Galatians 3. He says, for as many as are of the works of the law, that is trying to keep the law for salvation, for righteousness, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. How good is good? He's talking about perfection. He's talking about the perfection of righteousness, you see. And the reason he tells this young man, he says, well, if you would have eternal life, keep the law. He's going to show this young man that he doesn't keep the law. He thinks he does. This man thinks he keeps the law, but he doesn't. The law reaches not only the outward works and actions, what we do, but the law reaches the heart. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is not a sin of action. It can work its way into action, but it's a sin of the heart. The law, you know, Christ taught this in Matthew chapter 5 when he was taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And in, I believe it's in verse 20, he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, how righteous do we have to be? How good is good? And he begins showing them that the law not only forbids the act of murder, it also forbids the thought of murder, the thought of hatred, the thought of wishing that kind of ill on somebody. He goes on to show them that the law not only forbids the act of adultery, but it forbids the thought of adultery, the lustful thought of adultery. And you see, we have the goodness of the law, the righteousness of the law, is perfection not only in deed, in action, but in thought and motive. And that shows us how we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It's Christ. And so when he says, if thou, verse 17 of Matthew 19, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, here's what he's saying. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to have eternal life based upon your keeping the law, you've got to keep it all. In the book of James, James wrote that to be guilty of one, breaking one law, is to be guilty of it all. It's all together. You can't keep a tally and say, well, now I've kept 3 out of 4, or 3 out of 10, or what? No, sir. To break one law is to break them all. Now, what is he showing this young man? We are all sinners. And we have no righteousness by which to recommend us unto God. And we cannot make ourselves righteous by doing good, because good is better than whatever we can do. Good's measured by God. Only God is good. So what is our hope? Salvation by the grace of God through the goodness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. That's the way of God. I have to have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. How am I going to have it? By looking to Christ. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There's no other way. I can say today, I'm going to begin to work my way to heaven, and I'll fail. Look to Christ. I'll pick up here next week on this same subject, how good is good. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.